Bronwyn's back. Hello, welcome to the big show. All the meaty stories that have gone on this week that we can't talk about on the Mac show because this is an Apple-free zone. So unfortunately for Jeppy from the Mac Observer, he's got to talk non-Apple stuff. But that must be a relief, actually, because if you talk Apple all day and there's no news, a week off's got to be good, except it's every week. Joining me to discuss the week in general tech, Muller Biker, how you doing, mate?
Oh, hello. I'm fine, thank you.
You're actually in focus this week and using the microphone. Not bad, mate.
I've been trained by Paulums.
Microphone technique by Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. A good plug for IO behind you. I hope they send you some free stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Good old... We put a... Now, for those of you that... Muller, take the camera and show him. Muller's been complaining that he can't see the show.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, my...
So what we've done is... Here you go. Look, see, we've put a TV on the wall for him so he can see you guys.
Look, how exciting.
And I've got another TV down here that I used for an exhibition this week. There we go. So I've got a 50-inch TV here, and then we've got a 40-inch TV up here for Muller to watch you guys. That's all. That's all it does, is watch you. Nothing else.
Yeah.
There you go.
And all I've got is...
See, dude, now, how much do I love you?
Lots.
I've bought a 4K TV so you can have a TV on the wall to watch this rubbish.
Yeah, but I don't get the 4K TV.
That's a 4K TV as well.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll forgive you.
It's a Seiki, S-E-I-K-I.
Can't you tell, based on how beautiful we look?
It is actually. No, it is a rather good picture on that Seiki. I do like it. It's better than it is on the one to my right. I need to fiddle around with that one, though, because I fiddled around with that one, and it's brilliant. Next to him is Jeff Gamet. What time did you think it was, mate? Because you just said, I'm sorry, I thought it was on a different time zone.
I put the show today in the wrong time zone. That's the problem.
I'm impressed you put it in today because I don't think we really dealt with it very well last week, to be honest. So, and add to the fact that I forgot to order any guests. I was a bit crap.
Well, you know that we're just here.
Hmm. And I just want to let you know that Bryony's gone home now, so you can say whatever you like. You can do that.
Okay.
You can do that original story and pick.
Oh.
Right. You've changed the floor, mate. Are you playing chess?
No, you can actually just really see the carpet or the rug behind me now.
Oh, right, okay. I just thought you and Angela were playing sexy chess.
Yeah, you know, I'm totally open to sexy chess.
Oh, it's like Twister, but with a twist.
Exactly.
Good man.
When the bishop takes the pawn, it's a totally different thing.
I'm not even going to ask who's the role in that. It's just wrong.
I just thought there might be a draft.
You know, as long as it's consensual.
No, Jeff's Sexy Chess has already got number one show title choice from Bronwyn. And let's not talk about the night mounting anyone. Righty boy, looking fresh face, mate. You're all serene and fresh and lovely.
Dummy stretches, dummy warming up, I'm all ready to go, mate.
You are? I did catch you doing warm-ups before the start. Did you do the vocal stuff before you came in, or?
I did, I've been gargling and all that sort of
You've
stuff.
You've been gargling TCP to make sure you can last it all.
Exactly.
You got a re-smog throat spray, and you've done the double distance thumb test.
Pardon?
The double distance thumb, there you go, that's that one. You do that. That's the distance, that's the distance you should have to the microphone.
So, all right.
Two thumbs, like that.
Okay. I'm learning all the time, mate.
There we go. Are you all right, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right. I've had a shaky couple of weeks, but I'm all
right. Righty boy. Well, I got to say, the Avengers Assemble one was pretty good.
Thank you.
I enjoyed that. Yeah, it was. It was a good discussion. We did get an email pointing out that electricity and water are fine together. It's the earth bit that's the problem.
Right.
So the guy in the bathtub, which was a well-picked story by Rich the Switch, I have to say, I did enjoy that. His problem wasn't the electricity and the water. It was the fact that his bath gave him a path to earth.
Ah, right.
There you go. As long as there's no... So if he's completely insulated in a bathtub of water, nothing's going to happen to him. But as long as... If there's a path to earth that goes through him, he's stuffed, which there was, clearly, through the bath stand. But
and he was stuffed.
So then he became the fuse.
He became... Yeah, the fuse. And he tripped. He blew.
He tripped.
Would he be okay on the ISS?
How to trip in the bath. Well, no, so no, I'm going to do this at the bash. So I will light a bucket of water with a bulb at the bash, just to prove that oil and water, electricity and water do mix. I promise you they do. You can immerse a bulb.
They mix very well.
And you can no. So I've had a few people that I've done stuff for over the years with work, and I've talked about people standing in holes that are flooded, and there's two 440 volt electrical sources in the water, and they haven't been electrocuted. But the problem is they can't get out of the water, because if they touch the side to get out, then they'll have a path to Earth.
Ah.
So they have to just stand there in the electrified water until it's turned off, and then get out. So that's the problem. It's the path to Earth. But there you go. I just thought I was a bit geeky, but okay. Fair enough. The Week in Tech, what's going on? Who's got the first story? Who's going to shove it in the chat room? Who's going to start us off? And I've realised now that I need a story. And Fast Fingers Righty Boy, the man who's got the fastest fingers... Moving on quickly, though, because Jeff could pick up on that. The man who's got the fastest fingers in BTN has started us off with a story about the Ubuntu mobile dream is over. What's gone on?
Well, I saw this story. It kind of leads on more to a discussion, but back in 2013, Canonical announced that they were going to enter the mobile market for tablets and phones with their own operating system. Now, I think they put it on Kickstarter. I'm not sure, but you know, hardcore people love Linux and those sort of things. So I think they thought that loyal base would follow them forward. But as you probably suspect, it didn't go really well. And this week they've announced that they're killing the project. Now, this goes along with a long line of operating systems that have been in the dust, you know, WebOS, Firefox OS, BlackBerry, and like Windows Phone. You don't hear hide or hair from that, even though they had the power and money of Microsoft behind it.
Yeah.
So what I was kind of thinking, you're left with two options now, aren't you? iOS or Android. And I'm kind of disappointed in a way, because I like my iPhone, I like Android, but I'm kind of sad in the fact that there's going to be no more competition. Because you take something like Windows Phone, it was pretty decent. You had a Windows Phone, I've got a Windows Phone. Mm-hmm. It was a good operating system, it had a differentiation. It was customizable. It was really good, but it didn't go anywhere.
I'm using the old phrase deliberately because it means something to people, but the Metro interface was the best interface I've used.
Mm. And I think it's one of the loveliest interfaces I've used.
Yeah, I hate the fact that Android has copied iOS in terms of the way that it lays out icons, when actually it should have better off been copying Microsoft.
Yeah, I think so.
Metro was really innovative.
Oh, it was great. And the thing that was really nice about the Windows phones was they were at 60 frames a second. So you got no glitches with the scan. And still, to this day, when you swipe with your iPhone, you can get a little hold point where it just kind of stops and then swipes. And you're like, hang on, we should be past that now, guys. But the 60 frames a second swipe ups, and it would just boom, and it would run. Because it was beautifully scanning. It was awesome. Metro interface... easily still, and the fact that you could resize your icons, and there was a customizability there, but that's an American word, not a British word, customization available to you, that was really impressive with Metro. And I'm gutted that it didn't take hold, and I'm also gutted that Linux hasn't taken hold really in the same way as it should do on computing and on mobile.
Because the other thing following on from killing the mobile OS, Unity, which was the one thing that they were kind of doing a continuum thing where you could plug a phone into a dock and it become a Linux machine. They've even dumped that on the desktop as well now. So they're going back to the GNOME interface as well. So they're going back 5 years in everything they do. But the thing that got me thinking is if someone like Microsoft, who had Windows Phone, can't enter the market and do, you know, make a dent in what Android and iOS are doing, there's no way that anyone else in the future is going to be able to do anything. Or if there was someone to come on, they'd have to be really innovative to make people turn away. Now, this year is the first year I've not upgraded my phone for donkey's years. And I look at it and I go, I'm just really bored with this. Because it's the same, basically, apart from the iOS 7 update, it's the same phone that I had, you know, 10 years ago. And it hasn't really, apart from bells and whistles in here and there. So I'm really sad that we're kind of going to be stuck with these, you know, Android. It's all right. I'm not really that into it. But are we gonna like forever going forward just have two operating systems?
I remember having the Firefox phone, the ZTE one.
Put the microphone to your mouth.
Sorry, I remember having the ZTE Firefox phone, and it was absolutely abysmal. The screen was horrible. It was tiny, and it was so slow. And I gave it to a bloke called Steve Litchfield, you know him, the tech journalist, and said to him, you can have it, review it yourself, and keep it. It was before I knew Ewan, so I'd give Ewan a chance to use it and throw it in the bin.
Oh, thanks, mate.
But it was plasticky as well. It was a horrible phone.
And it was so shit, I'd have given it to Ewan.
I'd have given it to Ewan, yeah.
Yeah.
I might have even given it to Paulhams.
Yeah, but that was for emerging markets. That was meant to be a cheap phone. But you know, you take my mate Jim. He's got the 950 Windows phone, and he lives and dies by it. And he's so sad that he's not. You know, he's invested so much time in it. And a couple of years back, when we were at your place, Ewan, where Alan was there, and you were all trying to get the Denim upgrade and all those sort of things. And
yeah,
it was really quite an exciting time because that was a huge upgrade, and it brought even more to the platform.
It was, yeah. I remember taking a picture of all the phones that were at the bash on that red table.
Oh, yes, we did, didn't we?
That was an awesome picture. It was everyone took their phone, who'd come to the bash, took their phone and put it onto a table that was a red vinyl top table. And they would laid out, and they were interlinked like a kind of jigsaw, so that they all fitted on the table and made the square. And then we took a picture of it. And the diversity of phone was huge. It was massive.
If you took that picture at the bash this year, it's not going to be as diverse, is it?
Well, that would be an interesting comparison. Let's get everyone to do that. We'll do that. At the bash this year, 1st of July is the bash. If you want to come, you can still buy your tickets already. We'll put the phones down, and we'll take a picture, and we'll compare the two images. That's a good shout. We'll do that. Mm. That would be a good exercise. Muller, you were on a Windows phone at the time.
I was, yeah.
Yeah, so was I. My yellow Windows phone was there. So was Jim's 20 or 1020.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I've had a 1020 and a 930.
Well, you gave me the 1020. You gave it to Ellis.
No, I gave him the 930. Is it 930 or 940? Something like that. Anyway,
something like that. Yeah.
The 1020 I dropped and the phone broke.
Why is what's the malaise, if you like, with Windows Phone? Because we can all sit here and go, it was a great phone. It was a great phone. It had a great camera. It was a great camera. It had a decent OS, a really good OS that was very usable and very customizable. Why didn't it take hold? Is it just because the iPhone was so strong, or was it because someone perceived that it was crap because of the Vista issue with Microsoft or something like that? I don't know. Why was it not as good? Why didn't it take hold? Why is there no Windows Phone market at 15% like there was and it should still be?
I think some of the main programs weren't available. Like, there was no Facebook, no proper Facebook. There was a Facebook app, but it was rubbish. There was no Twitter app, proper Twitter app. There was no, I think the social media wasn't there, and the kids want social media.
Bronwyn's come straight in with lack of apps, so she's agreeing total.
It's not total. There was plenty of apps.
Lack of apps was part of it. Yeah.
It was the social media.
Go on, Jeff. Sorry, Jeff, carry on.
They didn't have the developer support. iOS was already going strong, as was Android. And I hadn't even thought about it till you mentioned it, Ewan, but I bet the bad taste left in people's mouth from Vista played a role in Windows just not catching on.
You wouldn't be surprised to find out that was one of the factors, I think.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't even have a Windows CE phone. I did.
There was a CE, wasn't there? Because they did
loads
CE.
Of them.
CE HP. Ran most of the tills and stock control systems, and I think CE ran a lot of the bank teller machines and stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
The auto cash dispenser stuff, the ATMs. So, CE was a very productive system for Microsoft, very cost-effective in terms of what it used it for. But on a mobile platform, I remember having a Jornada. And I think that ran Windows Mobile or Windows CE. Mm. And that was an okay experience, though, at the time. It wasn't...
Yeah, it was all right.
It wasn't Symbian, but it was passable. And it let you run a lot of stuff and interact with Windows. But it wasn't Symbian. Symbian did far better at the time, so...
Yeah, it's just come to my mind now, another reason why. I remember when the first the first Windows phones came out, it was Windows Phone 7. And I don't think it was like that long until they started moving into the Windows 8 thing where they wanted everything to be the same OS.
Yeah.
And suddenly you couldn't get Windows 8 on any of the Windows 7 phones. So people got a phone that could never be upgraded, which I know is a problem with Android and things like that, but it's basically you bought a phone, 18 months later, we're not going to support it anymore, moving on to a new platform. So maybe people who invested in the Windows phone experience early on got burnt and thought, I'm not doing this anymore.
Hmm.
So what's happened to Tizen then?
Well,
is that gone?
No, they're still doing it. It's on their watches. It's on Samsung's watches and all those sort of things. They're rolling it out to emerging markets and stuff. There is a story in the press this week about it's a security nightmare at the moment. But Samsung make all their money off Android. So
there's a certain point, though, that nothing's gone, is it? I mean, there's still WebOS out there. But it's the number of people who can know what you're talking about when you mention its name that disappears.
Mm.
So you know, the OSs are out there, but how many people, if I said to the listeners of this show now, do you remember WebOS? How many of them would write to me and go, what's WebOS, as compared to yes, I do, compared to 5 years ago when Apotheca stood up and you know, WebOS was the thing?
Oh, good times.
But WebOS was the future. It was the complete
WebOS
integration.
WebOS was so promising.
Yeah. Totally. But again, you've got the best operating system. The tech journalist market went, this is the best possibility. The integration process between mobile, desktop and tablet is complete with WebOS. So why does it die?
That was totally HP's fault.
It was Apotheca's fault because he was a twat.
Yeah.
I mean...
That helps, yeah.
Absolutely.
He just chucked all his eggs in one basket and the basket had a hole in the bottom.
Well, and the basket was the wrong one, too.
Yeah.
Because he tried to make HP into what he knew, which was not what the company actually was.
Mm. I did have Amigo for a bit. Remember that one? But it was so complicated to use.
Here's the mic, dude.
Sorry, I had the Amigo. Nokia brought out the Amigo phone. Remember that? Like it was a bit like Android, wasn't it? Sorry, am I losing you?
No. So we've had a conversation this week in the Slack room, and I put on there that it's like putting a sidecar on a Harley. You know, if you've got a Harley, what the freaking hell do you want to put a sidecar on it? Shit. It's not cool at all. And Tom VF said he'd used it. But I was just thinking that someone's going to be in a meeting and go, that's as bad as Muller's mic technique.
Ewan, the only place I can see being a sidecar on a Harley and it being cool is if you have an awesome dog that's going to ride with you and the dog's going to wear an aviator's cap and goggles.
Yeah, I've seen that picture and it's still shit. It's still shit.
What a monkey.
Apparently after the conversation we had, I was like Thunderbolt is my Mac Pro is my Harley and Thunderbolt is my sidecar. I know that's not cool, but you know what I'm saying. And Tom in the chat room said he was in a meeting and someone came up with an idea and he went, no, that's like putting a sidecar on a Harley. And he got it from me, so I'm chuffed. It's been used in a tech meeting in California.
That's awesome.
It is. I'm kind of kudos.
Although here in Norwich, we do have an undertaker who has put a sidecar on the Harley, and that's where your coffin goes. That's quite cool.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll
okay,
that.
That's cool. That's cool.
Undertaker hearse.
That's the way I'm going.
So Righty, go back to your story, because we've kind of diverged here. The Ubuntu mobile dream is over. Is this a dead duck? Is this a parrot that will not squawk?
Yeah, I think they've just seen the writing on the wall. You know, they're, you know, Ubuntu is for enthusiasts. You know, I like Linux here and there, but I wouldn't run it full time. I would have been interested to see it on a phone. I don't think that I'd have used that full time either. I'm kind of invested in the Apple ecosystem, which is good sometimes, the pain other times. I looked at the Windows phone and thought, I really fancy that, but knowing that there's no support for that. Android is a bit too clunky for me. And, you know, Firefox, like Muller says, Firefox OS was wasn't any good.
That was a joke. That really was a joke. Ubuntu is far more serious as a real contender, and it's still not making it.
No, and if Canonical can't do it and Microsoft can't do it, then we are stuck with dual operating systems for the rest of time. So what I was kind of thinking is there going to be any scope in the future for iOS and Android to change? Because it just feels like the same all the time. Although this month you've got Android O coming out, and it's just like, we tweak this and we tweak that, and it looks a bit the same, but only like 3% of the phones are going to get it anyway. So everyone's kind of trapped with what they've got, and it just seems like a really sad landscape to be living in.
My exodus from iPhone to Windows Phone was based on the fact that the 1020 had the best camera.
It
was an awesome camera. Now the iPhone camera is really, really good. I don't think Windows has followed the camera angle as much, and the PureView process that they were going through is not as good, so that's why I'm not going back. I like the look of the Samsung Galaxy 8. You know, fire hazard or not, it's a good looking phone. I love the wraparound elements of the screen and that kind of stuff. If the camera's brilliant, well done. Sony have just shoved the 960 frames per second video in their latest Xperia. That is Android, and that could pull me away if it really is that good. Because, I mean, the 960 frames a second is at something stupid like 600 by 800 resolution. But they're still doing well in excess of 300 frames a second for 1080p, which is awesome. The only thing I watch for is it'll underexpose it. So be prepared for that.
Yeah. But also you think about the market, and if Ubuntu phone can't do it and Windows phone can't do it, you know, last year Samsung had a phone that blew up, but this year everyone's excited about the new Samsung phone. So you can't even hurt them. So the other company haven't got a chance in hell.
I think it's quite interesting the way that the 8's been received, because I don't think anyone's looked at it and gone, I'll run the risk of it blowing up in my pocket. They kind of, there's an automatic presence now of safety exists. If a company screws up, you automatically assume that they put it right.
Yeah.
So therefore you place a great deal of faith in the fact that the 8 will be fine.
They better have gotten all that worked out.
But that's the thought process, isn't it, Jeff? That's exactly it. As I'm sitting going, they wouldn't have released it if they hadn't got it worked out.
But how many of them burst into flames?
But it's very quick. It's so quick from when the 7 went up. The turnaround here is massively quick, and mm-hmm. people are going to go, oh, it's going to be fine. But actually, they haven't had very long to test it at all. We were taking the piss out of the 7 not 10 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
10 weeks ago.
And two.
I like to think that Samsung totally nailed it on the 8, because they really have to. But, I mean, the 7 happened. So, I'm skeptically optimistic. How's that sound?
Mm-hmm. Does that mean you're going to buy one?
No, but I'm so deep in the Apple ecosystem,
yeah.
And actually the fingerprint sensor on the back of the phone,
great idea.
That's a deal breaker for me right there. Doesn't matter how good the rest of the phone is, what they did with that fingerprint sensor, I'm out.
What, you think the fingerprint sensor on the back of the phone is bad?
I think it's horrible. Also, the placement, they put it right beside the camera lens. And now you have a phone where you need to, it's designed to be right-handed, and so they put the sensor right where you're going to keep hitting the camera lens all the time. You've got fingerprints on your lens all the time. And now you've also limited yourself essentially to using a single finger for authentication. So you have to pick it up off a table to authenticate. And I know that sounds like a trivial thing, but if you're used to having a phone that you can leave on the table and just touch that sensor all the time with a finger or a thumb, moving it to the back and limiting it to essentially your right index finger, that's a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, and you wouldn't mind if it was limiting it to your right index finger or for a finger that you chose that you could reach the sensor with, but sticking the sensor next to the camera lens is sheer folly.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But when I saw that, my first thought was I was looking at a joke image. Like, seriously, I thought someone did a mock-up to show how stupid it could be, and then I realized, actually, no, that's a product shot.
Yeah, not good. Good story, mate. I think we are destined for a 2OS system, mate. Sorry.
Yeah, I think we are.
Yeah. I'll come down. Yeah,
I think we have been for a long time.
It's been on the cards, hasn't it? Because people have tried and failed, so, yeah.
Yeah, and my feeling it when the whole, I'll call it mobile Ubuntu thing, came up, that it was a non-starter. Because as cool as Linux is, you just can't get people to take mainstream. The average user just doesn't get into it.
Yeah.
So it's as cool as the mobile Ubuntu thing could have been, I don't think it ever had a real chance.
Yeah, I'm struggling to see what is going to knock Apple off that perch in terms of iOS.
My guess is it's going to be Apple.
Yeah, I mean, the great quote is that a civilization must destroy itself from within before it can be destroyed without, so...
Yeah, and it's going to be one of two things. Apple's going to completely screw up with iOS in some way, like stop innovating, whatever it is. Or they're going to come up with the next thing. And so they will kill iOS in favor of whatever comes next.
Or iOS will morph into something that is way cooler.
Or it could morph into something different. Yeah.
Cool. Good story, Righty. Well done, mate.
Cheers, mate.
32 minutes of discussion on that. Who's got the next story? Jeff, surely.
There you go.
The Verge.
So.
Broadcom Wi-Fi chipset vulnerability.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I'm sure everyone's heard about this by now. It turns out that the Wi-Fi chipset that Broadcom makes it being used in like a jillion phones has major security flaws. And so the way it works is someone just needs to be in range, within Wi-Fi range of your device, your mobile device, and then they can use these vulnerabilities that are in the Broadcom chipset to access your device, upload code to it, and then run that code. So they can run arbitrary code on Android or iOS. And it's kind of crazy because when you look at what the vulnerabilities are, it's like Broadcom chose to not take security into account when they made their chipset, which to me is just crazy. And especially now that they're saying, oh, well, future models of the chipset, don't worry, we'll have security in those. And so, yeah, thanks, guys. So now it came down to Apple and Google to release their own system patches to block the vulnerabilities in the Broadcom chipset. And both did. So that happened, was that Monday, just a few days ago.
So for those people listening, if your phone is up to date on its OS, there is no issue for you potentially. But if you're with a carrier who has not taken the upgrade, you might be vulnerable.
Then you might be vulnerable. And there's really nothing you can do without these software updates installed.
Is this a real world vulnerability or is this a theoretical vulnerability?
It's a real world vulnerability. And
has it been done? I know it's been, has it been done outside the lab? Has it been done in for real?
Oh, I'm not sure if it's been done outside the lab.
Yeah. See, that's I'm okay with the theoretical thing of we took control of a Jeep in Denver when we were sat in a hotel in Washington kind of scenario. Well, great. That's fine. But, you know, who's going to do that? Have they got to the state where they would thought about doing that if you hadn't done it already and published it? And that's my thought here. Is this an un... If you're running an unpatched phone, Are you realistically vulnerable, or is this a theoretical vulnerability?
I think now that the threat is widely known, it's a realistic threat.
Yeah. Okay.
It's, I mean, because everyone seems to have a smartphone now, and they all have what? So it doesn't even matter if you're at home. This isn't simply, oh, if I go to the coffee shop, I need to turn my phone off, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
If you're sitting at home, some jerk could drive down the street looking for any smartphone they could find just to hack it because they can.
This has been found by a guy named Gal Beniamini. But one of the things that's positive is that Broadcom have held their hands up straight away, and they've contacted this guy and said, work with us, let's sort this out.
Right. And
give him some kudos for that, surely.
Yeah, so that's good. And so information about the threat was withheld until Apple and Google released their updates, which was also nice.
If you're on an iPhone, you've got to be at 10.3.1 for this patch this vulnerability to solved. And if you're in Google, you've got to have the April security release.
But surely that's if you're on a Nexus device, because that's the whole problem with Android, is that if it's a carrier phone, they don't push out the updates on the same schedule as Google. So the attack surface for Android could be huge.
But the only thing you've got to say with that, Whitey, is the fact that if the person is on KitKat or even Jelly Bean or something like that, or way back to Key Lime Pie, then what data have they got that you really want?
Well,
because they're probably chavs and they got nothing worth stealing.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, Hang on.
I know what a chav is now, so I get the
joke. Hands up in the chat room, right? If you've got an Android phone, hands up, right? Admit to it. Come on, be big. And also, tell me what OS it's running. And if it's KitKat or Key Lime Pie or Jelly Bean, then I'm sorry, you're a chav. I'm going to kick you. It is, because it's people that shop at Carphone Warehouse.
Oh.
Their IT buying is how many food stamps they've got.
Oh, Jesus.
I can't say that.
You can, but...
No, the point is that if you're going to buy some IT to use for yourself, at least have some understanding of what you're purchasing. Otherwise, you've got kick me written on your back, haven't you? Unless it's something else on your forehead, but it's not that. It's kick me on your back.
I was trying to read the blog, and I can't work out how they jump you about, how this caused, what the problem and how it's caused. It's gobbledygook.
Okay, so if I understand it correctly, there are different ways into buffer overflows, and then once that's done, then that creates the opening where you can dump additional code into that memory space. And then that code can be run from there.
Right.
So a lot of it has to do with memory protection. And here's the salt in the wound. The part of the chipset that Broadcom is using includes a memory protection system embedded in it. And they chose not to enable it. What were they thinking?
That's having a guard dog and tying its mouth shut.
Just, yeah.
So it can sit there and go... as opposed to biting anyone.
That's crazy.
Chat room's gone really quiet. It's clearly a bunch of chavs.
No. It's because they're all, everyone's worried now that someone's hacking into their phone.
They've all got a shopping trolley in their front garden.
This is chavware. There we go. It's not malware, it's chavware.
I'm selling Firefox.
We've got a new phrase, boys, chavware. Anything that attacks a vulnerability for someone who's got a really old phone that they never update is chavware.
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 I like it.
No, there's a title. Chav. How do you spell chavware?
Isn't it just chavware?
Oh, well, there you go. See, I wouldn't even know. So, Jeff, you've gone down in my estimation now because you know how to spell it. Not even an American word.
I was just sounding it out.
You've done your research. I only know the word chav because I did research.
He bought another Android.
Not because
phone.
I am one.
Oh my bad.
Chav doesn't apply to me, says Bronwyn. She's the only person to deny that. The rest of you, Vincent, Trigger, Taxicab, Pitchforks, Paulums, you haven't said it either. Paul, Mullabiker, Micro, Jeff, Red, it's not one of you said it. Don McAllister's not even said he's not Chav.
Excuse me.
You're on an iOS device. Yeah. Are you on 10.3.1?
Yep.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm on 10.3.2.
Here's the bad thing.
10.3.2.
I'm not on 10.3.1. I haven't done.
I'm
the
running
update
developer
yet.
Beta.
Oh, you chav!
I haven't done the update yet. So when you all write in complaining, go, you can't say that, Ewan. Yeah, I can because I haven't done the update either. I'm a chav. It's chavware. I'm vulnerable to chavware.
Jesus.
Chavware, I'm telling you, it's going to catch on, boys. It's going to catch on.
It'll be the Oxford English Dictionary next year.
Chavware, yeah. As created by Ewan Rankin. I'll make sure I get the credit. That's all I'm bothered about. I couldn't give a toss about the phrase. I want the credit. Come on, Muller. Stick your story in, mate.
Okay. What do you want? Do you want a Just Jeff story or do you want a Google story?
I want the story that you want to put in, mate. It's entirely your choice.
I'll give you the Just Jeff story then. Hold on. I'll just post it for you. So Jeff Bezos wants to sell 1 billion, 1 billion of Amazon stock a year to fund his rocket adventures. So
how much is 1 billion worth of Amazon stock? Is that like two shares?
Billion. It's 801.80 million. I don't know. Actually, I'm
pounds.
It's a lot. It's a lot of shares anyway. Still a lot of money. He's worth, I don't know, 1,000 billion. I don't know. I'm making things up there.
So you did a lot of research for this story then?
Well, I just basically took the... Basically, he wants to... SpaceX, obviously, is challenging the skies, and he wants to challenge SpaceX, and he wants to have his own space tourism business underway within the next couple of years. And he's going to sell one billion to fund Blue Origin, his rocket company, and he hopes to launch paying customers for 11-minute space rides starting next year. But I think he wants to carry on selling shares probably for the next 10 years plus, because I think he wants to go a little bit further than that. I think the tourism aspect is the first stage, and then I think he's looking further than that to reusable rockets, and he's laughing.
So here's the thing, right? I remember when I was a kid. What was the name of that car that began with an M? The flying car. And the guy died never having created a commercial flying car. And I remember my parents bought for me, do you remember Marshall Cavendish? They used to do publications that you bought in collections, and you bought a publication each week and you put it in a binder that they sold you as well.
Oh, God, them things, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Movie? Oh, no. I can't remember the name. Anyone in the chat room, think of the name.
It was Italian sounding, wasn't it?
No, I don't know. I can't remember. But the guy that invented it, he died never getting this thing in. And it was the flying car. And it came in this thing called Insight. And you could flick over to it. And it was repeated. I had four or seven volumes in the end. And it repeated through every single volume. This car would come out. The flying car would come out. And lo and behold, here I am at 50 years of age. And I've collected that book series when I was 12. And there's no flying car. Am I going to get to the stage where, or is my son going to get to the stage where he's 50 and there's no commercial space flight where people can afford to go into space? Because I think that's the case.
I think
it's, you'll get the Guy LaBerfe, what's his name? The guy that's the circus bloke. What was his name? He went into the space station for a week. Gila something or other. He went into the space station for a week, and he paid like 20 million for that. But there's going to be people out there who can afford to do that one trip, and they're going to be the Branson-esque level of wealth. But my son will die, I'm sure, never seeing space tourism, even for a brief arcing flight that's available for the average human being.
I think you're right.
Middle class and above.
I don't know. I certainly think he'll get his Blue Falcon or his Falcon 9 and Dragon capsule off the ground. Cause
well, Dragon's Musk, isn't it?
That's SpaceX, yeah.
SpaceX is Dragon.
He's already well on the way. And this Blue Dragon is well on the way. Blue Origin, sorry, Blue Dragon. Why am I saying that? I don't think it's pie in the sky. As you say, I think it's going to be the cost. I don't know. At least maybe just about on the cusp.
So I mean, they're going to go to Mars in 2033 at the moment. That's me 4 years short of 70.
Well, you could go one way trip.
The way Ellis is going, I might want to. But he's 13. Jesus, Kevin and Perry have come to stay. But Bronwyn is saying definitely by the time you're a granddad, Ewan, space travel will be routine. I don't think routine.
No, no.
That's what I'm saying. Routine. It's a flying car. And the flying car, when I was getting the Insight magazines and I'm 12 years old, I was convinced that I would go to work in a flying car. And lo and behold, I'm not. I'm in a shittier car than me mum and dad had when they had a Simca.
But these flying cars are coming, though, aren't they? These drone kind of things.
No, they're not.
I don't know.
They're never going to get aviation approval.
You think?
The aviation authorities are shitting themselves over autonomous vehicles. At the moment, there isn't a single vehicle that you're allowed in the CAA regulations as a private individual that does not require direct line of sight to it. So they sell the Mavic and say blind that it can go to 7.5 kilometres. If you fly that at 7.5 kilometres, you are flying it illegally. You have to be able to see it. And the Mavic is so small, because when you fold it down, it's the size of an iPhone, you won't see it beyond the end of your garden.
Exactly.
But surely if you're sitting
in it... Let alone 500 metres, which is the absolute limit.
But if you're sitting in it, it's different, isn't it, surely?
You're not going to see it in a Mavic, mate. It's the size of an iPhone.
Shrink yourself down.
They've got that taxi service in Dubai. It'll get through in Dubai because a palm will be greased and legislation will be eased in that allows it to take place. There'll be an incident and it'll die a death. That'll be it. Someone will die and that'll be the end of that thing. Because it didn't recognise something that had been strung up. It didn't recognise the change in the landscape. The autonomous field market and the Amazon delivery process via drone, there is no way, mark my words, here we go, 6th of April, there is no way that that will be instituted before I am dead.
Agreed.
And if it does get instituted before I'm dead, I will eat my left shoe and I will probably die from it. But it won't...
That would be kind of ironic.
I'll do it live on the show. I will eat my left shoe in pieces, grilled.
Which shoe, though?
Cured. Left.
Yeah, no, but which shoe?
Who's in the title?
No, yeah, but the shoe. Is it a shoe that you're going to buy specially to eat?
Well, I'm not going to buy tough leather, am I?
That just stands to reason.
Yeah, no, I mean, you buy a plimsoll or something like that. You know,
like a shoe made of ham.
Something that's got a chance of coming out without me going to hospital.
A ham shoe.
So,
yeah. Like
here's my take on
you've got a take on that, Jesus then. Christ.
I do. Here's my take. Okay. By the time you and I reach end of life, we will be at the point where space flight is still scientific and commercial. And I'm defining commercial in a very narrow way. It will be like space mining. Mm. And other commercial activities, industrial activities, it's
Boston
still not going to
level.
Be a tourist thing.
Yeah.
So in our lifetimes, we will not see space tourism, which just breaks my heart.
Well, I think as a species, we're going backwards, and because of bullshit financial constraints.
Yeah.
Because we can't sort out the fact that there is a money sump in the world, or money sumps in the world, that stop the rest of us from having an equal lifestyle of everyone else. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a own your own jet lifestyle, but it's going to be own your own house lifestyle and get decent, affordable healthcare. That's the nirvana. Nothing more than that. And when we get past that, then we'll go to the stars. Then we'll get travel to other areas of the solar system. And then we'll get the ability to further ourselves and run the possibility of not being dead in 15,000 years.
You think it's really going to take us that long?
No, maybe not. But if you look at the cycles of it, I mean, you know, we're going to be on the planet for a few thousand years more, but then I think it's going to die out.
Actually, they reckon 500 years max, the way we're going.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's because there was something New Scientist I was reading, and we could be at the end of our era, unless we get off the planet or change our ways.
God's gotten cheery, isn't it?
Well, no, I mean that's the Dyson sphere theory, isn't it? So if there is a planet that is sufficiently able to carry its inhabitants to the next world, it has to have a Dyson sphere, because that's his theory, is you would have expended all of your natural resources to the point that the only way that you could keep your planet alive would be to create a sphere around it.
The Dyson sphere doesn't work like that. Dyson sphere is when you build it around a sun.
Yeah, but it's around your planet and the star.
No, it's literally the sun. You build a shell around a sun.
Dyson sphere includes the...
No, it doesn't.
Planet.
I know. I read some science, a sci-fi book about 3 years ago about it, so I know exactly what a Dyson sphere is.
Well, you know what the book said a Dyson sphere is.
Well, I also know what a Dyson sphere is. You build a literally a skin around the sun so you can collect all its energy. And I don't think you'll ever do that, to be honest. I think that's funny.
No, because you still need direct sunlight in order to get vitamin D and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because the sun, you'll be inside the Dyson sphere.
Has to be with the sun.
No, you'll live on the actual skin of the Dyson sphere. The Dyson sphere will be surround the sun, and you'll live on the inside of the Dyson sphere, on the inside skin. It will be a machine, basically.
Okay, all right. I don't disagree with that, but
that is correct.
But the Dyson sphere has to be 93 million miles across, then.
Well, it's going to have to be quite big, depending on the size of the sun.
They have to be insanely big.
Yeah, okay.
There's a lot of talk about Dyson rings instead, because then you only have to make the strip that goes for the full orbital path.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
But I can't see how we can create that without going to other planets. You can't create that on your own world. You have to go to the Marses, the Venuses,
Saturns. You need resources that go far beyond a single planet
to
even make a Dyson ring.
Well, yeah, can you imagine a metal, for instance? How would you make it?
Yeah.
And the engineering involved is frightening.
Wait, says Bronwyn. We're heading for a future like Halo. Jeff. Jeff's
absolutely. Okay. Well, assuming we don't kill ourselves off and we actually make a Dyson ring.
I don't know how we got to a Dyson ring. We talked about Bezos selling off Amazon. So
I do. No. You started it.
No, my fault. Oh yeah, I said we're not going to get to commercial spaceflight. I don't think in my son's lifetime. It will be Boston Dynamics level of commercial, not Jeff Gamet level.
It could
of commercial.
Be the Nostromo,
right?
Yeah. As you say, I think
the Nostromo.
It will be mining. He'll be mining and stuff like that. It's bound to be, isn't it? It's got to make money. It's got to be self-supporting.
Isn't the have you ever seen Moon, the film?
Yeah, a bit weird that. Yeah.
It was very weird. It was a bit. It was a bit 2001, wasn't it? With the replicant stuff, but. The thing in that was that it was based on the fact that the moon is rich in helium-3, and helium-3, if you filled the space shuttle with helium-3 from the surface of the moon, the cargo bay of the space shuttle would power the US for a year.
Whoa.
It's stupidly efficient at energy generation.
Mm-hmm. And Moon was a good movie.
Wasn't that the basis of the Nazis on the moon as well?
Helium-3 is abundant on the surface of the moon. It's the first 6 inches, effectively, of moon dust. It, like I said, a small amount, a relatively small amount, has massive power potential. But I can't believe that anyone's not realised that as a, you know, I don't think it's, I struggle with the idea of the concept of space being a business because of the fact that no one will take the leap because no one can afford to sell the product that the person's going to take the leap to go and get.
Mm.
By the time you've paid for the money to go and mine the helium-3, when you get back, no one can afford to buy it off you. That's the problem.
Ooh, I don't know. Surely the fact that you've invested money to go and do it, it'll pay for itself over time.
That's the point, isn't it? If you can't afford it when it's back here.
All right, so I think if you're setting up a helium-3 mining facility on the moon, it's not to bring that back to Earth. It's to use it to go farther than the moon.
Yeah, because that's what they're saying. You launch from Earth, go to the moon, refuel and launch from there, wouldn't you? And carry on. That would be the way for deep space flight.
I did actually see a story last week, and it was about building... Put an asteroid in Earth orbit, dangling a great big rope or metal wire from it downwards, and then building skyscrapers on asteroids that dangle down.
How long did it take to stop laughing?
Oh, well, I did post it in Cool Things.
No, I saw it. I saw the story, and I was just like, what a pile of bollocks.
Well, I must admit, it's quite dangerous to put asteroids in orbit, but...
enough to build a skyscraper.
But I mean, that's what they're planning on doing. Isn't NASA planning on bringing an asteroid into orbit to mine? I'm sure I read that.
Not to mine. It's for research.
All right.
But they're going to bring an asteroid into orbit.
So they're going to set it at the Lagrange point, so it's in a stable spot. And
when?
Yeah. So they're. I'm sorry, Ewan.
When? I was interrupting you, I do apologize, but when?
Oh, I think this is something that's planned for the next 20 years.
I might see it then.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Okay.
I might get to look up and see an asteroid. It's not going to be very big though, is it? They're going to bring something in that's like 400 yards across, and you won't see it. It'll be smaller than the space station, or fractionally bigger.
Well, SpaceX, at the end of the day, well, going back to my story, SpaceX and Bezos and all those, what they're trying to do at the end of the day is develop space travel so they can go to an asteroid and mine it. That's what I think at the end of the day they want to do.
I don't think they are.
I think they want
to own. If you're going to mine something, you've got to be able to do something with what you've mined. And if you're going to mine something, you've got to know what it is that you're mining off the thing that you've gone to. So everyone's going to get an asteroid and go, okay, let's mine an asteroid. And you get up there and it's full of cheese. What are you going to do?
Oh, I think they know what a lot of them are full. Cause they can
then
tell.
You open a cheese shop.
And it's the most expensive cheese in the world. It's cheese and truffles.
And it's very radioactive.
Yeah, to send some pigs up so the pigs can sniff out the truffles in the cheese.
Space pigs. Brilliant.
Pigs in space.
Pigs in space. Oh, we'll go full circle.
That's my story destroyed.
The show, it's annoying. I mean, it's just...
You know, I could see someone actually doing that because we have some incredibly stupid people on our planet. Getting pigs up on an asteroid or somewhere... And wanting to use them to sniff something out, and then realizing that doesn't work in the vacuum of space.
Hey?
Nope. I believe before I die, I will see pigs on an asteroid.
Grazing.
Yeah.
Grazing.
Oh, Jesus.
That's when you go into space with your son and you're flying across on Virgin Galactic. You go, I can remember this was all asteroids. who's playing some of it? Are you, Muller?
Yeah.
What story do you want to go for then, Muller?
Sorry, I thought that was my story.
You've got Google uses neural networks.
Oh, right, you wanted that one as well.
Or have you gone for atmosphere found on Earth-sized planet?
No, the Google networks. We've already done my story, but if you want to carry on.
Have we done your story? We haven't done your story.
That was my story, that Jeff Bezos.
So who haven't we done then?
You.
Just me?
Just you.
Just you.
I haven't finished looking for a story.
Well, do my story, then the Google uses neural networks.
Google uses neural networks. Here we go. Google uses neural networks to translate without transcribing. Talk us through, Muller.
Well, what I've been reading about this, obviously at the moment, a lot of Google Translate translates your voice into text and then text into voice again. So what they're trying to do now is go straight voice to voice, which will help in voice when you do telephone calls. And that's what they want to do, is so you can literally, if you speak French and I speak Spanish, I can speak to you and you'll just hear your own language. That's cutting it down to the simple things. So what they're doing is literally trying to work out how to do that. And they're having some success with Spanish, apparently.
They're having some success with Spanish?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are the Spanish paying for it?
Yeah, apparently so. And they're going to build a wall as well.
Good. It's a linguistic wall.
But it's, if you think about it, it's quite good. It'd be quite useful, because, I mean, it's, if they do succeed, then we'll literally be able to speak to anyone in the world via Google, unfortunately. So we'll have to pay them probably some money. But I'll be able to speak English, and I can then speak to Paulhams in Norwich, and we'll understand each other.
I bet you speak English, Muller.
So at the moment, that's it. They already do use neural networks, apparently, but for popular languages. But they want to expand it, and they're going to try to make it so it's quicker and more accurate. Is everyone reading a story? Is that why there's silence?
No. I mean, the community, there's no doubt, is there, that communication solves problems, plain and simple.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you can make your point clearly and concisely to the opposite person, and they can understand it in the way that you intended to send it. I mean, good communication is not about sending. Good communication is about reception. Perception is everything. If there is a way that allows us to communicate with other people, that's got to be a positive. That's got to be something that I mean, that's us being able to talk to each other is how many times, orders of magnitude more important than going to the moon, going to another planet within our solar system.
Well, definitely.
Being able to converse with other people on the planet and understand what they're saying and not have to deal with the issues of translation bias, surely.
Oh, yeah. Most certainly.
All right, that's the end of that then.
Yep.
There you go.
Well, if you want to Spanish, yeah.
Well, it's going to be other languages. They're going to other languages as well. And that's the whole thing. They are looking to expand into more esoteric languages. Esoteric.
We're going to get Esperanto, is that what you're saying?
No. Chinese, Japanese, and also some of the Arabic languages. So I think it's, at the moment, like English, French, German are quite common. Quite a few of the languages are, but they are trying to expand it and also try to make it more accurate as well. If you read this story, they are, because at the moment what happens is they convert your speech into text and then text into speech, and that introduces errors. And that's the problem, isn't it? So we all see what, and also the fact we've all spoke to Siri and just Jeff, and we've all heard get sometimes errors. I mean, and they don't always hear us properly.
I used to know. I can't remember. Since we said the word Esperanto, I'm trying to remember. There's two bits of Esperanto that I remember that have been used usefully, and I can't remember them.
Oh gosh!
It's Nachivo, HN. HN, I think it's to do with toxic substances or irritants. Irritant substances. HN. HR and HN, something like that. Like irritant substance. I have to think. Chemical classification symbols. The kind of stuff that's really useful when you go to a library. I mean, so where does VR fit into this kind of stuff? Because that's, I mean, the augmented reality applications that you can point them at a sign and then it comes back and it tells you what the sign says in Chinese. Those are really, really positive things as well.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah, I mean, this idea of using a neural network to get people to converse with each other, that's really, really cool. But, I mean, is it as pie in the sky as helium-3 mining?
Well, no, because Skype have been practicing that as well, because in some version of Skype, they've got some sort of kind of crossover translation already. It's not perfect. Microsoft was using their kind of deep mining to do that sort of thing. So I know that Google have been collecting loads and loads of voice data using certain services and all those sort of things. And it's going to learn. It's going to learn those mistakes, you know, common mistakes and things like that. And phrases, you know, the English language has lots of little quirks in it that it's got to learn and those sort of things. You know, it's not going to be stock language. It's going to be the quirks, regional quirks and those sort of things. But I think once it starts learning and it gets more and more experience, yeah, I think it's not a pie in the sky at all.
I got really, I understood subtleties of language really, really well. No, I didn't understand them. That's not true. I realised the fragility and the discrepancies of fragilities of language when I went to a shoot with my cousin. So we went and shot some pheasant, and one of the ladies that was there who was doing the beating, her daughter and I got talking. I said, "What do you do?" She said, "I'm a court interpreter." I'm like, "Oh, okay, what language is that?" She said, "Sign language." Okay. So she said, "I have to, I'm on a 6-year apprenticeship for doing it. And I have to translate what the person says." And I said, "So why is that 6 years? Because presumably you could do sign language before." "Oh, yeah, I've been able to do sign language since I was a child." "Okay, so why have you got a 6-year apprenticeship then?" She said, "It's to do with the meaning of what the person is saying."
Right.
So I could use a word where they sign something and they say that they grabbed a pair of scissors, but in the context that I relay that to the jury in a murder case, the word held, grabbed, took, whatever, seized a pair of scissors. She said all of those things there could be the same word that's signed to me, but I have to try and interpret what that person's saying as whether they seized it, grabbed it, held it, etc. And that's the massive part that's a problem with language in terms of the translation process. And if you look at Google Translate, you can always spot, you know, Mara in the Slack room, she'll put a bit of Welsh in or something like that, and you can grab that and go and stick it into Google Translate. But actually what it says, you know damn well that's not what she intended it to say. It is a pure literal translation of the language that doesn't work. And that's the real problem. I mean, that's what kills us. If we all spoke English, it'd be far simpler.
Yes.
If you weren't chavs and you all spoke English, then why am I even here? I'll drop that bombshell and walk away.
I did actually use Google Translate the other day to cheat at Pointless on TV. And they had Beatles songs in French, and you had to say what Beatles songs they were. And I put one, it was Fall on the Hill. And it come back when I put it into Google Translate as Madman on the Hill. So obviously Google Translate doesn't quite understand fool and mad.
Okay. Did you beat the contestant in question?
I did, because I knew it weren't Madman. So I said, "Oh, that's Fall on the Hill, but Google Translate's an idiot." Although I was the idiot because I didn't know how to translate it without Google Translate. So.
Well, yeah, fair point. But
there was a couple, yeah. Got most of them right, but there was a couple I noticed that made mistakes. I mean, the difference between fool and mad is a bit different, isn't it? So subtle, yeah. But it's different.
No, like I said, until I spoke to this girl, I hadn't realised how important the context of what you're actually grabbing as a verb or an adjective, etc., really means. Because we use stuff so often in normal language, and you can tell by the look on my face or the way that I wave my hands what I intended by it, but that's not necessarily the case with every single person. And language just gets it mentally. It's, you know, the person talks for like nearly a whole minute, And then the other person who's the translator looks back at the camera and goes, he said no.
Yeah, that's it.
It does happen. It really does happen. And it, you know, you're kind of like, no, that's not what he said, because he spoke for 30 seconds. It can't be he said no.
It could be like that. It could be like that South African translator at the Olympics or wherever it was, when he was doing all that rubbish and no one could.
Oh, he got lost, didn't he? Yeah.
No, he didn't actually know sign language, did he? He was just
really doing... What was he doing? Did anyone translate what he said?
It was at the South African World Cup, wasn't it? And he was doing all this sign language and he was doing all sorts of rubbish and everyone was getting really angry with him. He was on TV. It's in the news if you look it up on Google, and it made headlines. And this bloke was trying to defend himself, but he clearly didn't understand sign language. Not that I knew it either, but look it up. It's on Google.
My story, I thought it was quite interesting. I read this during the week. Commander of the US Air Force Air Mobility wants to develop a Star Trek electronic cloaking system for military aircraft.
Oh, nice.
You say that, Righty, but that is just the biggest waste of money possible.
Is it really?
Yeah. How many air wars have we fought in the last 40 years?
Well, no, yeah, but it's kind of that thing. It's like F1 bringing down safety of cars, isn't it? It's the development of technology in other areas that would make it useful elsewhere. I could do with a cloak.
Do this be because you want to cloak your bike?
I cloak my bike.
You do be cloaking your bike?
No, I cloak my donkey, so it just looks like I've got a cart that goes along.
I do be cloaking my donkey so it looks like a cow. And if I can do be cloaking it so it looks like a horse, I'll make five times more at market.
I tell you what, it's in terms of the language, I need to teach you when I come down to Birmingham.
That's not bad, mate. Norfolk. At least I got the doobie, right? Doobie, doobie, doo.
Jesus Christ.
It doobie is a definite Norwich phrase, mate. Norwich and Suffolk, it doobie.
It doobie what?
It doobie, right? I doobie, right? You doobie talking out your arse.
I doobie want a cloaking device.
I doobie want a cloaking device for my cart. If I do be cloaking my sister.
Wait,
moving on.
You said you'd never.
I said I'd never do that, but General Everhart, he's the chav that did this. General Carlton Everhart says he wants a cloaking device for his planes. He do be wanting a cloaking device for his planes. What a pile of bollocks. I've got to say, guys, we don't fight air wars. Why have we got tornadoes? We probably haven't got tornadoes anymore, but we haven't got Arias either. But why have we got Eurofighters and all that kind of crap? Because we don't fight air wars anymore. Yeah, we can't. We want drones if we really want them at all, which is a question. But I'd love the cloaking technology, don't get me wrong. But when you develop the cloaking technology, the cat is out of the bag. Who's going to use it and for what purpose? You're going to give it to Boston Dynamics and they get one of their trotty bomb things that's going to go into Tora Bora under complete cloaking and then explode and kill everyone that's in there. Or it's going to be used to as a burn the Reichstag kind of event to get us all fearful about terrorism. I don't see the point in cloaking an aeroplane.
You could cloak a drone.
I do, because end of the day, we do actually use airplanes to bomb. And if you're, say, bombing, it's not too bad.
When was the last time that NATO bombed anyone?
Well, Gulf War.
Okay, it's really important we do Syria. It now, because I'm going to cite something that's 20 years old.
No, we were bombing... In Afghanistan up until about 2 years ago.
No, we weren't.
Yes, we were.
We were using drones.
No, we weren't. We were also calling in airstrikes to support our troops.
But the thing is, why do you need to clone them? Because the people that you're fighting are armed with a sharp piece of fruit.
Yeah, but the thing is...
to quote Blackadder.
Yeah, but the thing is that we got now Mr. Trump in the White House... And he wants to pick on people like North Korea, China, and not Russia, but China, who do have
We're not going to go to war with China. We're not going to go to war with Russia, because the consequence. We're back to Bay of Pigs here, mate, or we're back to the Cuban Missile Crisis. No one is going to push that button because they're too scared of what would actually happen. There is jiggery pokery that goes on, and people see it as a game of chess and a bit of fun. And people die in that game of chess and a bit of fun, I might add. But it's nothing worse than that. There is no realistic need to cloak anything that we have.
Anyway, he can't do it because under the Treaty of Algeron...
Is that a Doctor Who thing?
Which isn't going to be signed for another
400 years. I think Jeff might know what it is. What's the Treaty of Algeron?
It's
Star Trek, isn't it?
It's the Treaty of Algeron is the agreement that Starfleet would not create cloaking technology.
Exactly.
Which they did, right. which was the episode where they proved that they didn't. What was it?
Well,
okay. Well, there's actually two cloaking things with Star Trek, and the first one is yes, they did develop their own cloaking technology. But it was phase shift cloaking, and it didn't work right, and that's why the Pegasus got
Pegasus,
stuck.
Thank you. There we go.
Asteroid.
Top marks for Jeff, because I was going to say the Pegasus.
What wasn't it?
Who was the first officer of the Pegasus?
It was the black guy. I can't remember his
first
name.
First officer of the Pegasus was William Riker.
Will Riker. There we go. And who was the captain?
Hold on a minute. There was another ship that the black guy from the Deep Space Nine. Didn't he have a cloaking device on his ship?
Yes, no. But that's because it was obtained through a treaty with the Romulans. That was actually a Romulan cloaking device on the Defiant.
That's it, Defiant. I couldn't remember the name.
Who was the captain? Who was the captain of the Pegasus? Come on, that's the test. It's a bald-headed bloke. Always plays an arsehole.
I want to say Jellicoe, but that's who took over the Enterprise from Picard.
No, Jellicoe was the white-haired guy.
Yeah,
no, this guy was the bald-headed guy. Come on.
Bald-headed guy.
Come on. If only there was a...
I'm going to...
Come on, Jeff. That's your,
if only there was something we could do it on, like I'm captain of the Navy.
No.
Come on. You know what? Bronwyn's right. Bronwyn is absolutely right. Riker was not first officer on the Pegasus.
No, he was.
No, he was much younger. He was maybe a lieutenant on the Pegasus.
Right, Pressman is the answer that you're looking for.
Pressman.
Pressman was the captain. I've just gone to the Pegasus Wikipedia page.
Me too.
But it's Battlestar Galactica, so that doesn't count. Star Trek, here we go, Pegasus. I'm sure that he was first officer on that. Oh, that's not right. Okay. I'm going to get emails. I'm sorry. I need to sit and read this.
Vice Admiral Blackwell, was that him?
Where Will Riker first served after he graduated from the Academy. So she's right. She's fresh-faced Academy. Yeah, he's not first officer.
Yep. Man, I totally blew my Star Trek cred.
Pressman, I just want to declare I did know Pressman before I Googled.
Well, anyway, Treaty of Algeron, can't do it.
Hey, at least I knew both ways Starfleet ended up with cloaking technology.
Well done. Did anyone in Congress stand up and go, I'm sorry, Colonel Everhart, or General Everhart, you can't do that because of the Treaty of Algeron?
I wish they did.
I hope someone did. I hope someone stood up and he went, what? And they went, chav.
And then he would have said, who's chav?
He's captain of the Pegasus.
There is so much going on at the moment that I just think Reichstag. I just think Reichstag constantly. It's just governments starting fires so they can put them out. It really is.
Yep.
Bronwyn holds up her Star Trek nerd card, and I think she gets it there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm wrong. She's a far bigger nerd for Star Trek than I am, but I felt I had some nerdship within that.
You know, the fact that you remembered the name of the captain of the Pegasus?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It was Cardassians, weren't they, that were sat outside as well, waiting for them to, and they had to fit the device to the Enterprise to get it out of the asteroid that they were sealed into.
Yeah, that was
that episode.
And those Cardassians are dicks.
So Sci-Fi Network, they are actually, they are Ripley-headed dicks. In fact, actually, they should have been in Spaceballs. That episode. So Sci-Fi plays like Star Trek and Deep Space Nine every night, and I put the series link on for Star Trek, so I get in, and I'd watch two episodes of Star Trek each night. The wife got really pissed off with me, but the Pegasus episode came up just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, cheap!
It wasn't kind of the Cardassians. It was the
image.
I'm going to say it.
Ron has just given me some real. I thought she liked me, but clearly not. She's just put
me
down.
Hello, I'm Gul Dukat.
It was Romulans, not.
Yeah, I thought that because didn't have a problem with the.
Right, sorry.
With the single point, what was they called? The single point star or something they call it. And it sort of escaped and started causing problems.
Oh, no, you're thinking of a quantum singularity.
That's it, yeah.
That's it. Because that's what powers their ships. To power their starships.
Easy to get mixed up.
Yeah.
This is really sad.
Single point star. That's Doctor Who, isn't it?
So Bronwyn, since you've got this nailed down, Cardassians hadn't even been introduced into Star Trek canon. And the Pegasus episode happened. Am I correct on that?
She's right. It's wrong. I'm holding my hands up. I'm wrong. It's okay. I'll show me chaff card. I'll get me coat. Bronwyn says, first black Romulan 2, I believe. Who was that? Oh, that was the guy who was the captain. That's right. Yes. He's the first black Romulan. Yeah. Spot on. Brilliant. Awesome. You can't beat Series 7 of Star Trek. Next Generation. Superb. She's confirming with Jeff, so it's right. It's happening. There you go. So we put the worlds to right tonight. If you've got an OS that's not up to date, you're a chaff. And if you want cloaking technology on your military airplanes, then you're clearly not in touch with reality because no one needs your airplanes. Now then, on Monday, I went to the NEC, which is the National Exhibition Centre here in Birmingham, because Hoya had a stand there, and they won an award for innovation. How cool's that? So that tells you what these people are like. They are the Apple of eyewear, if you like, that kind of stuff. And I saw a Uniku machine. Here you go. There it is. Just off to the right of frame there. Excuse me. I'll edit. There's two cameras, one slightly higher and one slightly lower, to get a 3D image of my face. There's me looking into the mirror, and you've got to focus on the bridge of your nose and try and look 30 yards beyond that. Then Mark, having got the picture, sits and puts in my prescription that I've got for my glasses, and then this thing works out where my glasses need to sit on my face to give me the best possible optical resolution. So what it does, after it scanned your whole face, it works out where the bridge of your nose is, works out where your ears are, works out your pupils are, that kind of stuff. And then it says, right, this is where the lenses need to be. And that is set in stone. It will not move those lenses. That is it. That's where they have to be to get the perfect optical stabilization for your eye. And then it makes the frames around them. And if you go, oh, I want the frames a little bit larger, it sits and it makes where the frames can go to. But if you say, oh, I want them even wider still, if it knows that's going to compromise the lenses, it goes, uh-uh, you can't do that. This is the limit of where we can go. And some of the frames you can't adjust the size of at all because of the way that the lens is made. So this thing is incredible. These are bespoke eyewear for you. And when you get them back, after you've ordered them, they've even got your name on the inside of the stem that goes over the ears. That's how bespoke they are. When we had John and Mark here the other week, they described the process as being nothing like 3D printing, being an awful lot more like archaeology. I watched a video how these things were made. And basically, a head runs over some powder, and it fires a laser into the powder. And it shoots around, keeps doing this. It takes 3 days to print. And when it's finished, the woman goes over, she puts her hands in the powder and shuffles, and pulls out a set of eyewear. It is like archaeology. You pull it out of the dust and there's the eyewear. And then they're sprayed with the coating on that you want, and they are your glasses. They will fit no one else at all. Your, not just your prescription, not just your frame, but your prescription fitted to the frame that you choose, and they are unique. That's the Japanese word for unique, is uniku. Simple as that. It's an awesome process. I can't get over it. The machine that was at the thing was a demo machine. The first working machine is going to come into Wrexham mid-April, and we're going to go up and we're going to shoot some footage and we're going to do the whole thing. It's incredible. I was blown away by the process. And the thing that's interesting is, if you look at the lenses that I've got here, these things are bespoke made for you, and they don't cost you any more than this does. And, you know, talking to Mark, he was saying that every pair of glasses that you get is a compromise, because you go to an optician and they say, what frame do you like? And you pick the frame you like, and then they try and fit the frame to fit your face, and they try and fit the prescription and the lenses to fit the frame to fit your face. Everything is about a compromise. This system is, there is no compromises. These are built for you. They will fit no one else. They will not work for anyone else, even if they've got the same prescription, because they are fitted to your face. Plain and simple as that. I cannot wait to go and see this for real. We're going to show you a video when we get back from it. We'll put it up on the YouTube channel. But I was blown away on Monday. And all the things that I thought I knew about the system because of the way Mark had described it to me, I got there and I realised I knew absolutely nothing. It was awesome. This is uniku. It's coming. It's brilliant. Keep watching this space because it's awesome. And here you go, UK2, look after them please, because they look after us. They pick up all of the costs of running the network as far as the IT is concerned in the cloud. They give us the server, they give us the domain names, they give us the bandwidth, they give us all of the stuff that keeps us afloat every month. So please, please, please give them something in return. Go back to them, please give them your business for anything in the web. Domain names, VPS, VPN, co-location services, hosting. Go to UK2. And also, you know, if you take a chance, please just tweet out on social media, on Facebook or on Twitter, and just say thanks to UK2, thanks to Hoya for supporting British Tech Network, because without those kind of people picking up the tab for us, we'd be skint. The server that we've got would cost us £400 a month based on the amount of data that's on there. We have got 8 years of utter shit on there that you can listen to. Plain and simple. Time for the cool thing. Oh dear. Muller.
All right. I've got to reach around for it. It's my cool
start thing. Us off.
Well, my cool thing is it's military style torch. I've seen them advertised on Facebook quite a lot, but Amazon had a flash sale. And I'll put a link in a minute into the chat room. But it's incredibly bright, so I won't put it into the camera. But it comes with a charger and also with a unit, so you can put ordinary batteries in it. And it is incredibly bright. It's like having a... I used it in the... to go out yesterday into the back garden to look for the ISS, and it was like having floodlights in the garden.
You shone your torch
on the
ISS.
So you're shining it on the ISS.
Well, no, I wasn't shining it on the ISS, and I presume they would have looked down and gone,
You were trying not to step in cat shit, is that what you're saying?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, but it comes with that,
so you can use
ordinary batteries, but it is quite an amazing torch.
It is the bright, and my mum and dad bought one of those, and the thing is that you can zone the beam, can't you? You can focus it.
So you can focus it really wide.
When you switch it on, you can rotate it.
Yeah, it just comes in. I won't do it because it is really bright. You can go down to a really small area, or like to a floodlight. And when it's even in a floodlight sort of thing, it absolutely outrageously bright. And it was only £16. So I was amazed when Amazon put mine on sale, because I'd seen them for a while for a lot more than that. I'll put a link in the chat room in a moment. But I think the price will have gone up by now, other than that. But absolutely good. Amazing.
What the price did you say again?
£16, and I bought it, but I think it won't be that now, because it was on a flash sale.
Cool. Well done. Good pick. Like that. Like that a lot. Jeffrey, what have you got for us as a cool thing?
My cool pick is one you can't buy yet, but probably early next year. This is the latest Lego Ideas kit that's been approved for production. and it's Women of NASA. And
you picked this the other week. You picked this 3 weeks ago. You can't pick it again.
Did I really?
Yes. Oh, mate, there's only death left once your memory's gone. But you won't remember that, so it's okay.
No, your memory's the second thing to go. I can't remember what the first is. All right, well...
thank you, Victor Borgia.
Move on. I'll go find a different cool thing.
All right, mate. Well done.
Oh, my God. Senility. I do not remember picking it at all.
Senility. It's a desperate, desperate thing.
Oh, man. Even, I'm going to use that as an excuse.
Even
so
Righty Boy remembers it. Righty Boy, what's your cool thing, mate?
Well, I'm not saying that my wife's crap at charging things, but she is. So for Mother's Day, because she's got an Apple Watch now and her iPhone 6S, got this lovely little, I'll put it in the chat, this lovely little watch and iPhone dock. And I can't even paste in the chat room now, so useless. But yeah, this is the PD-XD Share 2-in-1 charging dock.
Snappy.
So yeah, I know, they always have these snappy things. Now, essentially, it's just a stand. It hasn't got any. It doesn't power itself or anything like that. You put your your cables in and all that sort of thing. But it's quite nice because the Apple Watch charger goes in there. It plugs into the back of this. You didn't just put a Lightning one in, and it charges both at once. But it's a really neat little thing. And because all that stuff's in rose gold now, you can get it in rose gold.
It looks really Star Trek.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I just thought that looks
it
really.
It does look really Star Trek.
Yeah, we just redecorated the bedroom, so it goes really well with that. But the thing that really
you've just redecorated your bedroom rose gold.
No.
Hand in your man card.
Men don't get the say in. I have this room. This is my room. I get to sleep in her room. So
and when you don't, you get to sleep in that room.
No, no, not at all.
With the dry buddy.
But I took the dry buddy down today. Actually, it's nice that it's hard to put it away. But the weirdest thing is, it comes with a leather wallet. I don't know why.
In case you want to take it to the supermarket.
I guess. It's just because, if you click on the link, you can see the wallet. I don't know why it comes with a wallet. It doesn't explain why there's a wallet, but it's 15 quid and it looks really nice and she's really happy. And now she can't charge her phone because I've got it.
It doesn't come in anything else, does it? It's just...
Yeah. It's black, white, gold and rose gold.
Oh, the link you put in. Oh, right, okay. Oh, it's a pull down. Got you.
Yeah.
Oh God, the white one looks naff.
Oh yeah, the white one's horrible.
Yeah. You know that the black one's going to scratch like buggery.
Yeah. The rose gold's definitely the nicest one. And you look at the wallet.
The gold one looks like it's a car boot sale.
Yeah.
So rose gold is probably the best of the lot.
Yeah, which was handy.
Especially if your wife loves rose gold, yeah.
She does. It's got rose gold everything.
Oh, buy that and a rose gold fascia for your Apple Watch.
Yeah.
£21.78.
Yeah. So, not bad at all.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Jeff, what have you got for us again? Okay. I'll edit, don't worry.
I'm betting this is something I haven't talked about yet. It's a website that... it's pretty cool. What you want to do... it's called Digital Ethereal. Scroll down to where you see the spirit photographs. That's what I'm talking about right there. There's this artist, and what he did was he took this Wi-Fi signal detection tool and then linked it up, I think it's to an Android phone, and then used that to do light painting. So he's created these really cool images that are all visual representations of the Wi-Fi signals from cell phones as people are moving them around. And it's a wonderful blend of technology, art, and now I just wish that every time I pulled my iPhone out of my pocket, I had a beautiful rainbow color lines flying everywhere. I suppose if I take the right drugs, I would.
And Oxy will help. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've lost the chat room. Bugger, where's the chat room gone?
Yeah, gone. What's up with that?
I don't know.
No, you've left the chat room.
No, I did not.
Well, it says you have.
I'm still here.
I'm back. I'm here. Okay, I've lost all the chat though. If you wrote anything, then sorry, but I didn't see it. My cool thing is Sniper Elite 4, available on PC, Xbox One, and PS4. It is massive. It is huge. The maps are incredible. And the story mode is really enthralling. You can play it on I can walk everywhere and shoot everyone and no one gives a stuff, easy mode, right up to I put my head out to have a look at someone and I get shot in the head.
That's stupid, isn't it?
If you play it on the ultra hard mode, it is realistic beyond belief. There are snipers out there who are looking in your direction, and if you pop your head out, you have got a split second to get it back in, otherwise you are dog meat. It is brilliant. It's really, really well done. I haven't played that much because I haven't had much time recently, but what I have played is just absolutely enthralling. I cannot recommend it highly enough. £44 on Amazon at the moment, I think, but it's well worth the money. I love playing the Sniper Elite games. I've owned all of them, and this is far and beyond the best that's out there. No question. Well worth the money. And available on PC, Muller.
Is it?
Yeah, right. So you can get it too.
Okay.
Where can we get a hold of you, Muller Biker?
I'm on Muller Biker, or Muller Bikerless, as some people have said lately.
It's not very kind, is it?
No, I was really upset.
Yeah, don't blame you, mate.
Yeah, sold me a motorbike, bit upset. I've got a pedal bike now with an electric motor.
Such is age, mate. Moving on.
Yeah, so I'm Muller Biker, and I do a couple of reviews occasionally for the website when I get a chance. Good, I might, man, do one for my bike.
Do one for your bike, yeah.
Yeah. I'm working on it. I want to do a bit more research on it first.
A bit more cycling?
No, research, because my actual manuals are all in German.
So you're going to bring them to the bash and Patrice is going to be sat there with a pen and pencil.
He's got some work to do.
Yeah, he's not going to join in. He's just going to sit with a pen and pencil translating your manuals. Yeah,
and the manual's about 150 pages long.
Oh, blimey.
I just want to know, there's just one setting on the bike computer I just don't understand.
What can't you get like an augmented reality translator?
I'll try. I'll have a look.
Give it a go.
I've found some of the manuals in English by searching, and I found them in other languages. But I'm slowly getting there. But there's just one or two. There's just one setting on one of the bike computers. I just don't quite understand what it is. I've even asked the bike shop, and they're useless as well. So they obviously don't know what they're talking about.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, you think you go into a bike shop and they'll tell you what it means, and they go like, oh, "Well, they're all standard." Well, it's obviously not. What does it mean then?
Two went too quickly, mate, for it to be coincidence.
Well, I don't know. I'll show you when you see it next. Maybe see if you can work it out, because I can't. I think I've got an idea what it might be, but I want to confirm it before I go messing with the setting.
Fair enough.
It's a cloaking button.
It's a cloaking button, yeah, absolutely.
I'll break the Treaty of Algeron.
Jeffrey, where are you, mate?
As best as I can remember, I'm at macobserver.com and Twitter, Instagram, I'm Jay Gambit, and I'm on Gobs of Podcasts. And hey, I did a new post on Fresh Brewed Tales.
Oh, just
a couple days ago. It.
I know. I have another one that's almost ready to go.
Good man. And well done for taking the piss out of yourself with your memory. Good.
I don't remember.
Didn't you? No, you didn't. No, it's fine. Righty boy. Where are you, boy? Lustrous and gorgeous in Norwich.
Thank you, mate. Paul is on Twitter and in the Slack room, and been piddling about on BTN, as you know.
Yeah.
Lots of reviews, planning the back end, as I do.
We've got a survey, haven't we?
We've got a survey, yeah. I think it's nearly ready to go. Got a couple of other bits coming up, and I've been knocking out blogs and reviews like you wouldn't know while I've been off work, so enjoying it.
Good man. Excellent. Well done. Good job as well. If you get a chance, go to Righty Servo when it's up. Check on the British Tech, at British Tech on Twitter, and there'll be a link there for you to go and fill it in. My name's Ian Rankin. Get me at Ian Rankin on Twitter. And we'll be back again next week on Thursday for the live shows. Righty won't be here because he's on holiday and neither will Camp, so it might not be a show at all. But it'll be a back show, that's for sure. See you next week.